You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, I was at the Opal Real Estate Family Office Conference up in Boca this week, and I interviewed one of our good friends, Ethan Penner. He's a managing partner at Mosaic Real Estate Investors. Let's listen in. Wanda?
We're here with Ethan Penner. Ethan is the managing partner at Mosaic. What partners?
Real Estate Investors.
Mosaic Real Estate Investors. See, I don't have my notes in front of me today, Ethan.
That's all right.
We're here at the Opal Family Office Real Estate Investing Conference, and Ethan just finished speaking on the capital markets panel, and we're going to talk to Ethan about what the trends he sees are in family office investing. Welcome back to the show, Ethan.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Jim, always.
Now, Ethan, you're out there in California, and you have a specific investment strategy that you found to be appealing to the family office world. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, let me give you a little bit of the background to it first, which is this. We're living in a very challenging world in many levels. And in the investment world, as that's playing out, is there's a supply-demand imbalance for yield. Yield is a byproduct of economic vibrancy and growth, which is in direly short supply in the world today. And as a result, there's very little yield, and there's tremendous amount of investment dollars that are in the United States and coming to the United States seeking the safety of investments here and yield. And so it's very, very hard because there's just too much money chasing too few opportunities for yield. And people are, I think, forced to take, in my mind, a lot of risks they shouldn't be taking in the hunt for yield. What we've created is an investment strategy that capitalizes upon the regulatory changes that have pushed banks out of construction and development finance, and as a result have left borrowers in a very yieldy area, which is value creation real estate, building, rebuilding, land entitlement, where there's real yield and the ability to pay a high yield to a lender without a lender. And so we fill that void.
I 100% agree. That's why I went into private lending. I do what you do, but on a smaller individual scale, I believe. So you're in California. Are you seeing this type of opportunity play out across the U.S. or only in high growth markets?
Well, I think that there is opportunity to do what we're doing in the entire country. And that's a function, even though we're in a low growth environment, we have not really had, with the exception of the multifamily section, a tremendous amount of construction for a very long time. And so there is a antiquation aspect of the existing stock and a need for new construction pretty much across the board, and not a lot of availability of construction finance. And the other interesting thing, Jim, is that, as you know, there's a lot of investment funds, opportunity funds, seeking high yield. And because stabilized assets offer no yield, they're all looking for development, but they need lenders too, right? And so we actually are lending to brand name developers and big opportunity funds that are big multi-billion dollar capitalized funds, and charging them a very substantial yield to lend them what I consider to be very safe money.
Well, sure, you're investing in the brand names and people that know what they're doing. And when I sell urban land, one of the things that I'm looking for today is somebody who can survive with a lower leverage loan and has a lot of capital that they can put on top of it and is a brand name. So in a sense, I think you're right on. I believe you're right on. Now, what sectors are you doing this in?
Well, you know, we are focused on one aspect of real estate, which is what I call viable real estate. So even in a very challenged sector like retail, there is always going to be something that makes sense. We have not yet done a retail deal because retail is a very challenged place.
It's fluid right now.
But I do think that we will ultimately find a needle in a haystack, even in retail, to do. And it would require a needle in a haystack because that is a scary place. So we like anything to do with housing, like housing most of all. We've done industrial, which is probably the next most favored product type we like. We've avoided office, and we've avoided retail so far.
Well, I think that in office, the risk in office is the high level of capital and the evolving nature of what an office really is. And I think in retail, it's probably the same issue. In fact, I think people, yes, that the term is now, people say industrial is the new retail.
Yeah, what we don't do, Jim, is we don't take speculative risk. We're in the business of not losing money. I heard Warren Buffett say this recently. He said he learned this when he was a young man, and I did too, although I'm substantially younger than him. but which means he probably heard it first.
Hey now.
Which is rule number one in investing is don't lose money.
Oh, yeah.
And rule number two is never forget rule number one.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's how we build our business. And in the lending and real estate business in general, it means don't take pioneering risks. So don't finance something for which there's not proven demand. Because who the hell knows? If you build something and nobody really wants it, then you could lose a substantial amount of money. So we only finance properties and the development of properties for which there's existing proven demand for that property.
And you use untrended rents, I'm sure.
Always.
Now, Ethan, talk a little bit about how you get your capital, because I build this sort of as family office investing. Is a large amount of your money institutional, large families? How are you raising your money these days?
Well, we started this fund 2 years ago, so we're just approaching our two-year anniversary, which is a magic time for getting institutional backing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we've done very well. We've exceeded our yield targets. So I'm optimistic that we're at that inflection point of going from where we started off very small, we're now medium small, and we're going to, I think, go to big in the next year or two.
Well, it's good to know you when you were small and medium after being big and on your way back to being big.
Well, I think that the key to being successful is doing things exactly the same way on a big scale as you would have done on a small scale.
Well, I think you're probably right, because as you get bigger, people still today need that hands-on touch and feel. And is that one of the things that you guys look to do with your investors?
Well, you know, I believe in, there's a couple of commitments we have philosophically built into our business. One is don't short shrift the due diligence and the involvement of the senior most people in the deal. So I personally am involved in negotiating and structuring every single deal we do. And my senior partner and I, one of us, physically site inspects every single piece of real estate we finance. I hope that never changes. Or at least if it does over time, it happens when we've had the time to train people for a long enough period of time that we could start to entrust some of that responsibility to them. So growing incrementally and not growing too fast is a very important part of our success. As far as touching investors, I really have gained over my career a tremendous respect for investors. And whether you invest $100,000 or $100 million, you deserve the same answers and the same accountability from us. And I spend hours talking to investors who might put up $100,000 or $200,000. And I got to tell you, in my 30s, when I was riding very high, I probably would have told you you're crazy if you told me I would be doing that. And here I am in my 50s, and I'm enjoying it very much. And I think it's fun to talk to people. I like meeting people. And people who are, let's call them less sophisticated or less professional investors, they ask questions that force you to really think. They ask sometimes the smartest questions and the ones that make you think in ways that you might not have thought. So it's a great learning process.
Yeah, they're not polluted by all of the institutional knowledge that somebody may bring to the table that may be a little bit off base or maybe compromises them a little bit. What's your good takeaway that you and your company live by, perhaps your motto, your creed, your theory of your company? We can leave that with our folks.
Yeah, I would say there's only one word that defines our company in every single way, and it's respect. Respect for each other at work, respect for our investors and their hard-earned money, and respect for our borrowers who are counting upon us to deliver as promised and treat them fairly as well. So respect is the whole thing.
Well, I can't thank you enough for respecting our relationship, coming back on the show. We look forward to having you on again when you have your next big anniversary.
All right. I look forward to it. Thank you, Jim.